Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality, BBS Radio. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, and we're here with a very special guest. He's been on my show before, Barry Strom, to talk about his making of his new book and a little bit about the new situations in his channeling process. So I'm going to hand it over to Barry. Welcome, Barry. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well, we've undergone quite a few changes in what we're doing. We started out... six, 8 years ago, just interested in paranormal, and we learned how to do board channeling. And we managed to channel a lot of information in that time. I've written four books based on the information we got off of it. And all of a sudden, we're finding out that a lot of our channeling has become very spiritual with the individuals that are coming through for us. We're getting people like St. Augustine, St. Paul the Apostle, and a lot of other really important people coming through and giving us information. And they are very clear they want me to write a book based on the life of Jesus. I don't know if listeners are aware, but we only know something about one-third of the life of Jesus. There's two-thirds of his lifetime that nobody's written anything about. And they're filling me in on the details that took place during that period and a bunch of other things. And a lot of the information coincides with what's in the Bible, and a lot of the information that they're giving me doesn't coincide with what's in the Bible. So it's been a very interesting ride. We've had people at the top level giving us this information. It's hard to believe, but we've actually had Jesus come through for a couple short periods to give us some messages. And I got to tell you, when he comes through, the energy on that board is absolutely amazing. And I actually have a video that we had running when we had his appearance. I'm planning on posting it on Facebook, and people can watch themselves and decide if it's real. But when they see the messages that he's given and all of the information that they've managed to pile up, I'm pretty well convinced anyway. So it's they put us on an entirely different track. And I figure this is probably just the beginning with this next book. I have a fifth book at the publisher, and it's based on an advancement of the alien information we had. And as it turns out, they actually gave me some information when I was doing that book on the universality of God and how he is our God of the galaxy. And they actually worship him on the other intelligent planets. We did another chapter on their own universal reincarnation, whereby the soul has the ability to reincarnate on other planets. And some of the stuff that we're getting now actually ties into what we're going to have in that book, which should be out in about 6 months.
So, now, obviously, this is a very controversial issue for a lot of people, because when you start talking about religion, you start talking about Jesus, you start talking about God in any form. Everybody has their own individual opinions, and that's a part of what you're trying to go past, so to speak. So listeners, while you're listening to this tonight, try to keep a little bit of an open mind. Obviously, the messages that Barry is talking about is not really, hey, believe in Jesus, don't believe in Jesus, this is the way it is, this isn't the way it is. It goes a little bit beyond and past this, more to understanding, love, compassion, and so forth. In fact, I just had that debate on RTP today when somebody else asked a question about Jesus, whether he was a man or whether he was truly the Son of God, or whether he was God himself. And I answered it relatively simply. Does all of that really matter if you don't listen to the message? The answer is no. You can believe any way you want, and that is fine. But if you don't listen to the undertone messages of what was applied, what you can read, and the understanding that it's all about getting past things, then that works a little bit better, if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense, because there is one overriding message. There are over 1,200 religions out there, and there's probably many more than that. And you have all the different beliefs and all the different ways of looking at God. Does he exist? Doesn't he exist? And all the we have one underlying message with everything that comes through, and that is that, that God is love. And it's getting along with other people. And if you share that ambition to get along with other people, then things will straighten out. You know, if you're happy and you love others, then your personal persona increases and you feel better and you're happy about it. So, I mean, you can reduce it to any type of simplistic terms, or you can think about all of the detail that's in the Bible and believe that every bit that you read there is correct. Or you can believe that none of it's correct and that there is just spirit out there, and you know, spirit is there with the message of love. So you can look at this in a lot of different ways. And I'm trying to understand it in a lot of different ways. It's an incredibly complicated subject. I started this group on Facebook. We called it Words of God Then and Now. And I wanted to start it basically to discuss. I would bring up these controversial issues, and then I'm kind of sitting back and watching the discussion that's coming with it. And it's very interesting because it gives me a chance to look at how other people believe, how they want to believe, and how they refuse to believe. I mean, if that makes sense. But I'm thoroughly enjoying the discussions we're having on that group. If anybody out there has an interest in joining, send me an invite, and I'll be glad to put you on it, because it's what we're doing is quite interesting. And I'm going to be touching some subjects that will absolutely have them trying to put me on the cross. So a lot of what we're being told is very, very controversial, and I'm not scared of it. I'm not steering away from the things that they tell me. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be quite a trip.
So far, in speaking to a lot of these saints and a lot of these people through your channeling, and we're going to have you explain how you channel. So just to kind of backtrack, for those that haven't listened to the show before, Barry has a channeling board. He channels many, many things in order to write his books. Some of the books he's written, which we'll discuss a little bit, you can also find it on his website. We'll let him do that later, have been fairly accurate without having self-knowledge. So it's kind of interesting when he does a new book or he channels something just to get his opinion on what's going on. With this being very controversial, it becomes another interesting thing, because religion, just like anything else, falls into that faith and that paranormal and the way we all question things in life. You know, why are we here? Why do we exist? Is God real? These are all things we all ask somewhere along the line. Whether you believe in God, whether you believe in good, whether you believe in evil, whether you believe in positive, whether you believe in negative, whether you have religion at all, none of that matters. It's all things that we ask somewhere along the line. So it's very interesting to bring him on when he's doing his new books, because he has some very insightful things. He brings up a lot of things that really do revolve around history a lot of times. So I'm going to ask you something. You said in one of your books that you just brought out, because you channel a lot of different people and they talk about aliens and they talk about all kinds of different things from history and presidents and so forth. You said that the God that we believe in, everybody worships across the universe. Is that correct?
Well, across our galaxy.
Across our galaxy.
They tell us that apparently each of our galaxies has a god, and each of those gods has different rules, and our god is the god of this galaxy. And when I was channeling the alien that we used for the first alien book, one of the first things he told me was that we all have the same souls. Just because your soul has been on such and such a planet in this last lifetime doesn't mean your soul energy is different. And the way they explained it, your soul energy has been around, forever? Or nobody really knows how your soul energy gets started. Humans have only been here, for 200,000 years. So where was your soul before there were humans on Earth? If you believe in reincarnation, which I have been able to trace many of my prior lives and historically proven, then where was that soul energy before humans were on Earth? Well, the answer is on one of the other planets where there's intelligent life. Now, that there's another controversial subject, but you know, I'm a firm believer in extraterrestrial life. My wife has been an abductee, and we were aware of that when it happened and how it happened. I've actually physically seen an alien and had it proven to me that I wasn't dreaming. So there are many, many things in this universe, and the spirit guides that we work with have really been trying to show me as much of it as they can recently so that we can bring the word out. And my books are very strange, very controversial to a lot of people, but I got to tell you, a lot of stuff gets proven. I'll tell you the story of me seeing the alien. We use this board. It's similar to a Ouija board, but it's much different. And the letters are in a circle. The numbers are there. It has a glass top, and we lubricate the board, and the glass literally flies across it and spells out the information at a very high rate. You can go onto my website. It's called spiritspredict.com, and there is a page called Board Channeling. And you can click in there, see a picture of the board we use. There are videos of actual channeling sessions. You can watch as we do it. And most importantly, you can see the prayer of protection that we use when we do this board. And the prayer was actually given to us in channeling sessions by the spirits themselves. So they brought us along this line. But I got to digress a little bit there. But we were taught to channel by people out in Salt Lake City. So in the beginning, we would let them have the board in Salt Lake City, and we would be at my antique gallery in Pennsylvania, and we'd be on Skype, and I would ask the questions, and they would give me the answers in Salt Lake. And Lord knows that takes away any personal influence that I could have on the board, because they had no idea where we're coming from. So on this particular night, we're asleep in our bedroom, and something wakes me up, and I look over, and standing by the side of the bed is a reptilian alien. And I thought I was dreaming it, shook my head, cleared it, looked at him again. He looked at me, and believe it or not, he smiles, and then immediately knocks me out, and that's the end of it. So I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking, man, did I dream this thing? Did I not? Was he here? And I've known all the abduction stories and stuff. So I think, well, odds are fairly good. So a couple of evenings later, we get on Skype with our friends in Salt Lake City. And they know absolutely nothing of this story that has taken place. And the alien we were channeling at the time, his name was Moo. And Moog has given me all the information for two books now. So anyway, they're out in Salt Lake on Skype, and I ask for Moo's presence to come in. Moo comes in, says hello, and I say to him, Moo, did I see a real alien? And on the board in Salt Lake City, where they know nothing that has happened, it spells out, yes, and did you see him smile at you? And I went, holy crap, I really did see one. So, I mean, that's about as strong as verification I can get that they do exist. And, I've written two books about them. I'm well convinced about it.
Well, I'm a firm believer in aliens myself. In fact, I'm going to do a recap before the end of this month talking about some of the uproar that's been on Facebook and several other things about the PPO officer to tell people the real job as opposed to what they think it is. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a naive thing for people to think that we're the only existence in the whole universe. There has to be something out there that's not only as intelligent as us, but some a little simpler than us, some of a little bit more advanced than us. It's just, you can't just think that we came from somewhere and something else didn't come from something too.
No. And I mean, my first book has been out a couple of years on aliens, and it's called Aliens Among Us, Exploring Past and Present. And in that book, Moo tells that there are actually a lot of young civilizations like Earth, and there's a governing committee out there that controls all the intelligent beings and they actually help the younger civilizations to advance. And they've done a ton of stuff for us through the years. I think everyone would be amazed to find out what they've done for us. But he also says that there are younger cultures out there that are actually more violent than we are, believe it or not. So he said we're very young. We're in the learning process, and their technology is so advanced. If they meant us harm, we would be harmed. We'd be gone. If they can travel from the further expanses of our galaxy to our planet in 10, 12 hours, they're pretty darn advanced compared to what we can do. In my new book, I try to discuss distances and comparative distances. And at our current technology, if a rocket left our furthest planet and traveled to the nearest star, it would take 46,000 years. So think about it. It's awful big out there. And statistically, there's got to be other life, and there's got to be a lot of it.
Oh, yeah, and when you're talking about space in general, the expanse of space is so vast that we can't even determine technically on our understanding now where it begins and where it ends, or if it ever begins and ends. Therefore, if you're talking about something so large, realistically, even if they grow at our rate, there has to be something out there every bit as intelligent as we are. And one would assume that if we can grow at this rate, then there are things that can grow faster than us, and there are things that can grow slower to us, like I said before. So I'm a firm believer in aliens. Now, I'm not the one that believes that they visit us every day, but curiosity has to kill the cat. Kills the cat for us, so why wouldn't it kill the cat for another race?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, their presence is actually more amazing than anybody can conceive of. The big error that we make right now in our space exploration, we're looking for planets that are similar to Earth, and we're naive enough to think that life has to be like humans. Well, guess what? It's not. I mean, when Mu was alive, he was a blue alien, stood 9.5 feet, had a pair of hands like we did, but instead of feet, he had another pair of hands. So he basically walked on a pair of hands and breathed a nitrogen-rich environment. So guess what? You got to be open-minded and look at all different situations. And just because a planet out there has a nitrogen atmosphere does not mean it cannot support life.
Well, yeah, and if people do enough research, instead of bashing on NASA, they'd find out some of this information. NASA scientists have actually confirmed the possibility of things living in nitrogen-based atmospheres as well as other types of atmospheres, and in fact confirmed at one point that biological life beyond here does exist as they found it. All of this can be found if you guys look at NASA's website. They release it very freely once the papers have came out. In fact, the biological life forms that they actually confirmed and some of the other life forms that they actually confirmed came from this galaxy. Some of them were confirmed from probes that have yet to come back, but the communication levels are easy enough for them now when they transmit back and forth to read the data and go, okay, that is alive. Now, is it something as far as NASA is concerned is intelligent? The answer is no. From what they found, they're talking more at simple molecules on plant life and other forms of life that are similar to plant life and so forth, because as Barry explained, we're looking through our eyes, so we're looking through a lot of things that we've already determined here exist.
Yeah, and that's what the statement that you just made is very pertinent to the concept of reincarnation, because your soul has got to experience emotions beyond what those felt by humans. That's why it's actually required that the souls have to reincarnate on other planets. You have to experience emotions that humans cannot feel. You have to see things that humans cannot see. And you have to experience dimensions that humans cannot experience. And it's the soul experience of reincarnation is absolutely amazing. Mu has told us that we have actually reincarnated on other planets. And in one of those lifetimes way back there, he was actually Connie's big brother. And that's why he came through in order to give us all that information. That's why he was so close to us. Huh. So there's a lot going on out there.
Well, that's interesting. Brief pause. We're on BBS radio. Very interesting radio station. For those of you just tuning in, I encourage you to listen to a lot of the other hosts. There's quite a few. You can search BBS radio anytime to look at those hosts on a regular basis. A little bit of a personal note, in Ohio, August 19th, and I always punt this on and off, Barry, so it'll be really, really brief. August 19th in Marengo, Ohio, the Marengo Flea Market will be holding a bash for all of you local residents across Delaware County, Morrow County, Knox County, and so forth. They're going to have toys for the children. They're going to have a lot of fun gifts for everybody. They're going to have several different vendors that are sitting there, as well as candy, free food, a bouncy house if everything works out right. A lot of interesting things, so come support your local community. We've been talking to Barry Strom. Barry Strom is writing a new book where he is channeling several saints as well as Jesus himself, and he's going to be talking a little bit more in his book about some hidden truths that have yet to be coming in Jesus Christ. He's also done many other books talking about alien encounters as well as history and how we've gotten a few things, how should I put that, wrong.
That's a good way.
And we're going to continue talking to him for the next 30 minutes or so about some of his experiences. I want to ask you something, Barry, while you're channeling these saints, because one of the debates that's going to come up is, are you talking to God or are you talking to the devil? And that's all up to interpretation, as we all know. Even the term God and devil is all up to interpretation. So without getting into religious aspects on that, one of the questions that I have for you is, have you asked them about war, where we're at today, and the occurrences that are going on?
Yes. War is, to them, a natural occurrence. And what they told us was that from war comes compromise. And if humans are going to learn to compromise, unfortunately, they're going to have wars. it's also a method of population control. We asked them one time why they let the Holocaust take place. And the answer was because man needed to see evil at its worst. So everything is in context. Everything is a learning lesson. And everything takes place for a reason. I often say there are absolutely no coincidences. When I look back at my life, I can see how it was all planned and laid out. And we're supposedly on our karma path. And they tell me that my karma is laid out over multiple lifetimes. So, you know, I'm pretty old right now. So I think the next couple lives that I got to come back for are already laid out for me.
Now, with that said, a lot of debates throughout the years have wrapped around the concept of a true battle between good and evil. Positive and negative, whatever you want to call it. In religious aspects, they call that the battle between God and devil. While you're speaking to these saints, well, even your alien friend, while you're speaking to these people, how do they address this?
Well, they address Satan. They talk about Satan as a negative energy, and they refer to Lucifer as the personification of a negative energy. For instance, the soldiers that would have been present at the crucifixion of Christ, and the Jewish priests would have been what they would refer to as Lucifer, because they were the personification of the evil energy at that time. They do not refer to a devil. They think that a devil, well, they tell me that a devil was a subject that was made up to create fear in man, that it was the churches came up with the concept of hell and the devil, and that you will go to hell as a control method. That if humans feared that they would go to hell or that they would have this little red guy with a pitchfork sticking them in the butt, they'd be more willing to approach the collection plate in a positive manner. And it was strictly the early church people came up with this as a way of holding their constituents in line, and they hold them in line with fear. The one thing that we're being told all the time is that God hates the concept that people fear him. They want all of the spirit guides and all of the saints want humans to love God and to love one another. And that's really the goal. But they are very, very down on any concept that creates fear in humans.
A lot of people don't understand. If you do your historic research, the term Satan and devil was actually added into the Bible. The term Satan, as example, was an early Roman term, an early Greek term for betrayer. A lot of times they would call somebody that betrayed their king Satan, as example. It was adapted later on in the Bible's versions because they wanted to choose something throughout the text that they were deciphering that matched what they were doing. Now, whether Satan, as we portray it now, should be considered Satan or not, that's up to everybody to debate. I'm just telling you the history of the word itself. Mm-hmm. Devil is similar to that. Devil is actually a word that was used in Greek and Roman terminologies for one who rebels. And a lot of times, if you started a rebellion and you were on the wrong side of things, you were considered the devil. And then they would fight that devil until they won. So that's just a little bit of history from actually looking into historic points of view on terminology so that everybody understands. I don't get much into religious debate. I do believe in God myself, and I have my own faith. But just so everybody knows, sometimes when you're reading the Bible and you're reading any text, when you interpret that, you should look into the history of the words as well so that you can decipher things instead of just debating your side of things. That's the big thing I think people overlook a lot of times. Like I had mentioned to Barry earlier and the audience, he says something in what he's channeling. Now, you can take whether you believe him or not in accord. That's totally up to you. But one thing he says is the same thing that I told somebody today and that I back up on consistently. Everybody debates on whether Jesus exists. Everybody debates on whether God exists or not. But how often have you actually read those words? If you actually look into the history of Jesus Christ himself, one of the things that he continuously preached or spoke about was why. Why are we fighting each other? Why are we worshiping many gods when we can worship one God? Why are we not helping each other? Why are we not loving each other and working together? Most people don't pay attention to that, and they just want to go straight into their belief. So if you take anything away from today, think about how peaceful mankind can be. Instead of arguing with your neighbor when you know you're angry at him, take a step back and understand that we can all get along. Walk away from the situation and ask yourself, why would I let that anger take control of me? Because that's the key that we need to do.
You are so correct in that. You've got to be able to walk away. And I mean, it's I have to work on it every day because it's been one of my faults. I let anger control me many times through my lifetime. And I'm trying, ask yourself, is this a battle you really want to fight? Is it worth it? Because every time you get yourself worked up, you're bringing your own personal energy down. And you know, if you're on an energy high and you're happy and everything is going well, you feel good. And you know, I think mental control like that is a lot for trying to keep away from the depression that you feel after you get in arguments. I think negativity is a big creator of depression. And it's hard. I mean, it's really hard. But the one thing that the guides and the saints are telling us in all these stories, they're trying to bring out the concept that Jesus lived as a man. And much of the descriptions and some of the things that are said in the Bible are the product of other men exaggerating some of the things that took place in the life of Jesus. He was an incredible teacher. He was a prophet. You can debate whether he was the Son of God or not. You can debate whether he was God incarnate or not. But he did live a good life. And he lived it as a man. And a lot of the details that they are giving me just give example of how human this guy was. On the group this week, I was working on information about the crucifixion, because there are a lot of elaborate stories told in the Bible and in Matthew about what took place when they crucified Jesus. Things like corpses were risen from the dead and went into the city, and there was earthquakes, and the earth fell dark. Well, the stories that the saints are telling me is that it is much like the crucifixion of a normal human being. They tell us that there were not three crosses, that he was crucified by himself. The comments that he made, like, I've always, if you believed that he was God incarnate, why would he say, "Father, forgive me"? Well, as the messages that we are getting are that he didn't, that he held his dignity until he passed. The details of the resurrection are much more accurate than the story that we are being told about the actual crucifixion itself. On Monday, I'm going to post a recap of everything that they told me about it and kind of tell me the story of the crucifixion of Jesus the way it is explained to me by the saints. It's a pretty simple story. You stop and think. It was probably 70 AD until people started writing about the death of Christ. It was 325 AD that Constantine selects the Gospels, that he holds the council. They tell me that there were actually 300 Gospels presented to Constantine. Constantine was worried about preserving his political strength. He was afraid that the growing Christian group would threaten his own safety. So he selects stories and gospels that fit his story, the story the way he wants it told. There was actually a gospel of Jesus Christ, and that gospel was rejected. Because Jesus actually talked of an alien presence and talked of reincarnation. When he says soul everlasting, I think he's talking about the soul being reincarnated and everlasting. I firmly believe the soul does not simply come here for one shot, and then you decide whether you're going to heaven or to hell. We are told that the soul has got to come through all these different learning experiences, and that on the other side, there are seven realms. There's a lower realm that you really don't want to get into. It's a place of nothingness, but it is not a place of fire and brimstone. And they do send people there. For instance, the Pharisees were responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. Pilate actually wanted to turn him loose. Herod wanted to turn him loose because he had done nothing against the state that he deserved to be put to death for. The Pharisees or the Jewish priests were the ones that decided he should be put to death. So I asked the saints, I said, were the souls of the Pharisees punished when they finally passed and went to heaven? And they said, yes, they were put into the lower level. And I said, well, how long are they, are they going to be, were they there? And the answer was, they still are. So for 2,000 years, they've been in a very dark place. And the idea is that your soul is to be able to advance through those realms on the other side. In order to do it, you have to learn all these different experiences. You have to live different lifetimes. You have to experience many, many different emotions. For instance, I asked one time, what happens to the soul of a non-believer? Is a non-believer going to theoretically go to hell? or an atheist going to go to hell? And the answer was, no, you have to live a life of a non-believer to understand the emotions that are involved. So actually, one of your life plans will probably be that you have to come back and live the life of a non-believer, because that is part of your soul experience. We asked them, you know, in my first or my second book, Afterlife, What Really Happens on the Other Side, we asked the spirit guides just simply what it's like over there. We said, where is heaven? And what they said was, heaven is not in the sky. It is the sky. Heaven is all around you. So when your soul passes, this is part of the reason that you can have a spirit presence. A soul can come back from a higher realm, drop back, and make an appearance on the incarnate side as a ghost or a spirit or a spirit energy. That's why we see ghosts and we see spirits, and it's just an amazing thing that goes on around us.
So theoretically speaking, part of what you said, as silly as it seems to some people, part of what you said would actually combine with quantum theory and quantum physics. Because I don't know if you know a lot about it or not, Barry, but if you do research into it, you'll find out that part of quantum theory states that there are multiple realities operating at the exact same time as opposed to time the way we define it, meaning that all time and space actually work together in existence at the exact same moment every single day we live. So we just can't see it because it's slightly separated through these thin barriers. And that it is possible that when you're done with one barrier, you can theoretically move to another barrier, but still from moment to moment be around at the same existence. We just can't see it, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense.
I've been speaking to a quantum theorist for quite a while, and he's been trying to enlighten me on a little bit of that. And it's complicated when you look at the math, but when you break it down, it basically means that everything coexists at once. Though it's broken up into different levels, those coexistences sometimes do interact. And these little – he's putting together a theory that he's going to put out, and I'm going to publish it a little bit for him on Facebook when it happens, that he likes to call quantum hiccups. Basically, the dimensions at one point or another interact together. This can happen during one person's life, during one person's birth, during emotional situations, during tragic situations. And because we're all theoretically living all at the same time, at the same moment, all of a sudden you can see what's going on, whether it be the past, whether it be the future, whether it be another dimension, you can interact at that moment.
Actually, that ties into something else we've been told. Bigfoot. Does Bigfoot exist? What they tell us is that Bigfoot is multidimensional, that he actually has the ability to move into our dimension and back to his unseen dimension. And that is why we never catch him, because he just simply change that dimension and go back. So that probably ties into the quantum theory also.
Well, yeah, one of his friends actually worked at Skinwalker Ranch, one of the scientists, and he knows the gentleman that funded that put together the whole space program, rocket program, and so forth. They're not good friends, but he knows him fairly well. So one of the things that made him start thinking this way when he was going into quantum mechanics was some of the experiences that some of the people talked about in Skinwalker Ranch just simply don't make sense. Yet the published papers involved say that these guys are saying it really happened. Hey, look, at one point I saw a hole open up and these creatures that look like Bigfoot walk out and then walk back in when they realized that we were there. I saw pieces of the earth and the ground open up and things physically fly out of them. They interacted with ghosts in the house, all kinds of crazy things that when you actually read the papers, you step back and go, were these people nuts? But it made him start thinking about it a little bit. So he decided to go deeper into quantum physics as opposed to just quantum math, and realized, okay, well, you know, if you start putting two and two together, the math adds up. So if the math adds up, that means logically what we know in science, that could happen. So he's playing around with that, I guess you could say. But he says it opened his eyes to a lot of different theories that weren't there before. And it makes perfect sense if you actually look into quantum physics. If the math adds up, then theoretically science does say, hey, look, if you can get it to add up and equal out to the same math that we can do here, then it's real. So,
well, that's what they tell us about the Bigfoot. It makes sense, really. They say that they're a humanoid form, lower mentality than humans, and they greatly fear humans because of it. And they just pop back into that other dimension that's on scene. And basically, they're living in the doorway of two dimensions. Well, I've never seen a Bigfoot, but I'm willing to see one.
Being from Ohio, we have all kinds of stories here of Bigfoot, and I had my Bigfoot experience. I explained it to Colin, a young gentleman that was on my show a while back in a discussion. I never saw the creature, but the Morrow County Police Department actually made a report that ended up at the end of it saying, must have been a Bigfoot.
Whoa.
Because there were so many sightings in Ohio at the time, and they couldn't explain it either. My mom got very scared because something started pounding on the side of the house, and it shook the whole house, foundation and all. And then when I opened the door, they started to see logs. Now, these logs that were cut were anywhere from 25 pounds to 50 pounds, depending on whether it was a whole log or not. So you can't just pick it up and toss it. They were tossing it literally off of the property, one at a time. And then we heard some unusual noises. Now, we didn't know what was going on. Somebody's playing a prank. Maybe there's a bear out there. Not quite sure. So the first thing we did was call the police. Animal control came out a couple hours later and said, stay calm. Well, by then, the event had disappeared because we realized that if we stayed inside and did nothing, that it did nothing in return. But we heard it walking off, and we heard a bunch of trees breaking and branches snapping and so forth. And at one point when the police got there and the Animal Wildlife Control got there, there were two trails spread apart that were almost as if something was walking as opposed to a bear being low to the ground because, you know, it'll scruffle over the weeds. Some of these weeds weren't broken at all. Big trees that couldn't snap were snapped and down during this path. And the police officer, Jake Ruggles, at the time just kind of laughs and says, I can't tell you what it was. The animal control officer says, well, I hate to say it, but I can't tell you what it was because we don't see any tracks or footprints, though I'm going to follow it and see if I can find something. And they all laugh at the end of it and say, huh, well, it must have been a Bigfoot.
Yeah. Ha ha. You know.
But it wasn't a unique experience.
Yeah, they tell us Bigfoot stands about 9 foot. They're big boys.
And it would have made sense then, because I'll tell you, there were weeds right in the center of that path that were not broke down at all. And they were, you know, they were growing up about the size of a table. So you'd think a bear or a wolf or something like that would have broke those down, shrugging its belly against it, if anything, made some sort of path. Yet you have two separate paths that look like somebody walked through it. Like feet came through and beat it down.
Yeah, sounds like Bigfoot. I got to agree with animal control on that one.
It was unique. It was one of those things when you're a kid that's like, huh, when you tell the story, you've got a story for a lifetime, so to speak. But I've got a dozen of those being in the paranormal, as I'm sure you do.
Got a few.
So let's get back on track while we're sitting here in the last 10 minutes or so before we go over your books, where people can find you and so forth. And let's just talk a little bit more about what I started with at the beginning, because I'm very curious on this. And if you haven't asked them, ask them and let me know somewhere along the line, because I'm curious on your opinion when all of this unfolds. We're raised in a society where we believe that that battle and that fall happened, that angels and demons fight together on a regular basis on a plane that we can't see. We're brought up that way. We're told that. So what is their opinion on that particular situation?
They have never mentioned it. They talk to us that the angels are the messengers of God, that they carry the prayers back. I have physically seen three angels, and I have photographed six. They weren't fighting or anything. They were always quite peaceful. No, I... I'm not familiar with that concept, and they've never mentioned it to me.
Yeah, basically, and if you've ever read the Bible and ever went to any church, they talk about how God and the devil had their outing, and of course he punished his son and he puts him down here, and then the devil is in control of all of the demons and the angels are in control. And if you get into the early text, some of which is not published, it talks about the war between angels. And it specifically says that they disagree from time to time and rebellions happen. And during these rebellions, these angels get cast out. In the early text, Lucifer is not the first one. In the early text, you have angels before him that were also cast out that went against God's word. Most of these books have been pulled out, but you can find them. So I was just curious to ask that because I've read all this as a theologian for years. Mm-hmm. And I've read a lot of books that have been taken out that talk about other angels, Azazel and multiple other angels that have fought wars way before Lucifer's battle. And it's just curious on what, you know, it when you're speaking to these people, what they would say about it.
I got a deal for you. How would you like to live channel with us and you can ask some of your own questions?
I'd be glad to ask and see what happens.
Yeah, I'll set up a channel. We'll get you on Skype one of the evenings we're going to do it. And your questions would be quite interesting, and I'll bet you I can incorporate a bunch of them into this book. I'm looking for good questions from people, from intelligent people that want answers.
I'm sure I can derive some of those. I've spent a lot of time studying virtually every religion on earth at one point or another.
It's apparent that you have, yeah. I haven't. You know, I'm perfectly willing to admit it. I was a civil engineer when I had a real life. But, you know, I'm looking for questions. And that's one reason why we started this page on Facebook. It's generating questions for me to ask when I go back into these sessions. I'm actually thinking about asking people to send me questions. And I'll sort through them and answer them and maybe on one day a week, just answer questions that people sent to me that we were able to channel answers for. I'm wide open on how we approach this because this is such an incredible subject, and I certainly don't want to be the one to screw it up.
Yeah, I'd be glad to ask a couple of questions and just see from a different concept what might be answered, because all of these things, some of this is very debatable, always has been in religion. Some of the books have been removed because of that. And because they were found later, people read them and said, hey, look, this is a missing book that could be a part of a Bible. Well, nope, that doesn't make sense, and so forth. But I've always been curious on that because there are a lot of passages that discuss in the different religions many, many battles, not just one, but many, many battles that all revolve around God and other entities or angels or so forth, and they all combine at one point or another, which is what people don't realize a lot of times. If you do enough research, you'll find out that the Bible combines a lot of different theories into one when there was unity in religion. Before that, a lot of them were separate, and some of it never got in there, but there's one thing that all of the religions cover at one point or another. Even when they worshipped multiple gods, they say there was one god that birthed all of them. And that there were battles between God and these other gods, so to speak. And that's what I think a lot of people don't realize. So I've always been fascinated. That's why I went into theology and my search a lot of times, because I had my paranormal experience. I've already looked into the science. I already looked into this. Time to start looking into the theology.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, Barry, we're going to touch base here on where people can find you, talk about your books if you want to promote them a little bit, and your new Facebook website. So I'm going to turn that over to you so that way everybody can kind of take a look and ask plenty of questions.
Yeah, I welcome questions. I mean, what I do is so bizarre to so many people that I actually, you know, I enjoy the questions that come in, and I will take them to the guides and ask them myself. The last book that I have out right now is my conspiracy book, and it's called Spirit Speak of Conspiracies and Mysteries. In that book, I actually channeled with the subjects that lived the conspiracies. We channeled Jack Kennedy, and he told us what happened, gave us the name of the shooter, explained who was behind it. The one message we got from him was, you don't want to have a vice president named Johnson, because Johnson was also behind President Lincoln's assassination. We do 27 different conspiracies in that book where we channel the answers. And a lot of them are pretty far out there, but most of them can be traced through history. And when you can go back and actually research it, the Lincoln assassination was great. John Wilkes Booth was not killed in Virginia, but actually dies in 1903 in the town of Enid, Oklahoma. And I could even find a picture in the archives of taken in 1903 of John Wilkes Booth in his casket. So that's the last book I have out. One of the other ones is Afterlife, What Really Happens on the Other Side. And another one is my alien book, which is Aliens Among Us, Exploring Past and Present, which is going to be the alien book is the foundation for the one that's at the publishers right now. The alien book at the publishers is going to take us forward, and it's going to talk about everything present, and it's going to talk about alien hopes for us in the future and what should take place in the future with us. So it'll be kind of a unique book, but it also has a chapter on the universal God and universal reincarnation, which that acts as a springboard for the book that I'm actually writing now, about the life of Jesus and how reincarnation played a role and what he wants for us and what's going on. It's a crazy world we live in. And I would certainly welcome you to channel with us and ask some questions. I would really appreciate bringing some of your knowledge to bear on some of the work that we're doing in this new book.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I've been meaning to get with you and do a session anyway. We've talked about that in the past a little bit. I think it would be very interesting. I haven't it's been almost 2 years since I've been on, near, or around a channeling board, but as you know, I did a lot of research, but most of that was through the toys, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I did find a couple of unique boards. Most of them were handmade boards that people created, like yourself, out of research and design that got some result, but never did really find anything out of anything from Toys R Us.
No, but we can do some amazing things with it. We did another radio show last week, and a caller came in and asked if we could talk to Vince Lombardi. And in comes Vince Lombardi, and she's asking questions, and he starts naming the players on the current football team. And I know nothing about the football team. So it was really cool. We had a non-live interview with Vince Lombardi going there for a while. So.
Well, that would be an interesting one. Well, tell us where to find your Facebook group, because I'm sure people will want to join. And it's a very interesting discussion group. There's a lot of very unique people there with a lot of different concepts. So it's not something that just talks about one particular concept, though it is about Barry's new book and about Jesus and so forth. So you'll have a lot of different views when you're going on there.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I wanted when we started. The name of the Facebook group is Words of God, Then and Now. So you can search that. It'll come up. If you want an invite, send it to us. We'll put you in. I'm on Facebook, just simply Barry Strome. You can send me a friend request. We got a little room there yet. My websites. We actually were channeling the saints for a long time. When we started out, we worked with another psyche that had very strong religious background. And we... 4 or 5 years ago, I started a website called messagesofheaven.com, and I actually have posted all the early messages that we received from the saints. We had done disciples. We even channeled with Pope Sylvester I, that was the Pope when Constantine selected the Gospels, and we got to talk to him about the process.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we've been doing this for a long time. And now they're tying it all together. They're showing me that this early information ties into what we're doing with the new book. And it's just, when I look back, the fact that there are no coincidences becomes more and more apparent.
Well, you've got some information on Barry there, and Barry, you're always welcome to come back. We'll probably have a couple of more times where you come in to discuss the progression of the book. Next week, Peter Halvred will be on the line with us. Peter's an investigator of over 23 years, written several books on the subject, and wants to discuss technical equipment. This is BBS Radio, and you've been speaking to Barry Strom on Paranormal Truth and Reality. Remember, as usual when we end the show, in the paranormal, truth should always be that reality. So keep an open mind, and we'll talk to you next week. You have a good day for me.